If you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, walk with everyone. Yeah, work with everybody. And it's the same even in cooperation.
The OEAD, Austria's Agency for Education and Internationalization, organized a country talk on Kenya. Kenya was a partner country of the Austrian Development Cooperation and many academic projects in the field of higher education and development. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Mayara Hadaya from the Unit Education and Research for Development Cooperation at the OEAD. In this podcast, you can hear reflections on scientific collaborative research in cross disciplines and cultures on crucial global challenges in the field of development research. Former scholarship holders and OEAD alumni and until present project partners give interesting insights from their long years' experiences. Listen now to Nzula Kitaka. She's professor and researcher at the Egerton University in Kenya. And she's not only the vice president of Africa Uninet, but she has over 40 years' ties to Austria. Professor Kitaka is also a founding council member of the Eastern Africa Austrian Water Association and has served on several international and national advisory boards and steering committees. She is a strong link to academic collaboration.
Professor Kitaka, you are here again. You never refused to come to talk about your really long years experiences. What do you think is important?
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me yet again. I think when I look back and see the journey we have walked through to almost 40 years, if we look at the case of limnology, I think these partnerships are really, they reach a place where now they become kind of a lifestyle in terms of the way you act and the terms of what you do. And one of the things I would really appreciate about the partnership between Kenya and Austria, it has done enormous in development of capacity, particularly capacity building for both academic institutions as well as research institutions and also other government institutions, like, for example, Department of Fisheries when it comes to limnology within the national government and also the county governments. So when we look at what is actually happening in Kenya today, we look at what is happening within the people managing the universities. We look at the people who are managing ministries, county government, especially in water sector and research institutions. They are actually an output of this partnership. So the fruit of the partnership is being felt today. And we have a lot of people coming up in the pipeline. So we hope this is going to really sustain, and it is actually going to ensure that the countries like Kenya benefit immensely and therefore ensure sustainable development now and the future.
What is the most important impact from your work, would you say, until now?
I think for me, the most impactful thing, I wake up on capacity development, is to see other Kenyans really and young Kenyans reach wherever they are, whether they have a capability or they don't have a capability. So when I look back and I'm saying, I was just looking at that photo and I look at all those people and I'm like, at one time, these were people who did not know which direction they were going. But now they are responsible people in the society, in wherever they are working, whether in NGOs, in the government institution, and kind of they brought out their dream. So I always tell my students, I think I have mentored enough of you now, I can exit. But there's always this one says, please wait for me until I get there. So that is really my dream. And that's what makes me wake up every day when I see transformation from watch them become real scientists. Like I always tell them, I watch them and I see them taking over like eagles. That is what makes me smile every morning.
Thank you so much for this wonderful last words. Thank you and much success. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks a lot.
Gerhard Volz, Head of Department for International Cooperation in Higher Education. At the Country Talk Kenya, he talked about the very long-lasting ties between Austria and Kenya. For example, since the 84 implemented North-South Dialogue Scholarship Program that was funded by the Austrian Development Cooperation. After that, new higher education cooperation program, EPIA, was launched nearly 15 years ago. The former scholarship holders played an important role as multipliers and cooperation partners. Listen to a few words from Gerhard Volz.
Saying that we introduced those country talks in order to get several regions or countries on the map, which might not be that present among Austrian higher education institutions as they perhaps should be. One of those reasons is that we introduced those country talks to a wider audience to get people know more about those countries. We chose Kenya as a destination country, as a country to showcase is the connection to the Africa Union at General Assembly in the week before. So we had the opportunity to invite a couple of prestigious speakers to the country talk and to get really a very beautiful and a colorful picture of Kenyan-Austrian scientific collaboration about Kenya as a country, as such, with its culture, with its opportunities to cooperate with the people connected, with the alumni we have here from Kenya, in addition with some nice food and drinks and a good networking. I think it is a lot about perspectives. There is so much we can learn from each other. I used to work with African countries also in my very first year in OED, which is around 20 years back. And I always see when we connect with African institutions that this is an eye-opening moment for both sides. Luckily, we are far beyond any idea or any intention that we have to teach African universities anything. We see that there is many, many projects going on where people, institutions, scientists work on equal footage, on a level of mutual cooperation. And that's, of course, about then scientific developments. That's about caring for the needs of African institutions, of African countries. That's a lot about learning from each other, getting the eyes open, getting new perspectives. Myself, I always return from Africa with a lot more things I learned and with a bit more relaxed attitudes towards what we consider big problems here in our society. I think we should foster collaboration because it's a benefit for both sides.
Africa in itself is beautiful but very diverse. It's not homogeneous, it's heterogeneous.
Felicia Arudu Yeke is professor of applied linguistics at the University of Laikipia. She holds a PhD in applied linguistics from the University of Vienna, Austria. She currently teaches in the Department of Literary and Communication Studies at the Laikipia University. And Professor Yeke has been the director of the graduate school. She was appointed deputy vice chancellor for academic research and student affairs.
So I'll be very glad to hear also just a little bit from you about Kenya.
Kenya is a very interesting country.
Kenya has a real wonderful nature and a lot of culture. Interesting.
And you know,
culture.
we are over 55 ethnic communities. We really can never say it's exactly this, even the languages, because some are split into more dialects. So diverse and yet so one. In a very interesting way, I usually call it the melting pot, where different cultures meet to be able to do their things and still call themselves Kenyan despite the diversity. It's really interesting.
And also Austrians are living
there. They are there. Austrians and Italians. So it's very interesting. But there are also people who live in the main city, that is Nairobi. I must say 1% of the population is non-African. That's Asian and European. So that's quite a decent number. Yeah.
And let's dive into, something that we cannot see sometimes. So like you are also an analyst. What about that topic of education that you also will talk about this evening? How advantaged are the people, the children, the students, the Kenyans?
The education system, we've been having reforms over time. I must say, initially, we had the same system in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. But over time, we changed. In the beginning, I think very many children dropped out because from the secondary, they didn't know where to go to. And for the longest time, they have kept on reforming that system to the point where most people integrated to move on. But in the last, I must say, since 2017, there's been a shift. And we've had education reforms, right from primary up to higher education. And so for the first time, we witnessed where primary school had less years. But then people were supposed to be empowered. It's kind of a competency-based curriculum. Because initially, the education system looked a bit elitist, a bit theoretical, and many people left without having skills. So now they are interested at the level you reach, what skills do you have? And so on board, there are universities, but you also have the TVET. TVET is technical and vocational training for people who don't make it to university, because there was a time when people thought that university is the ultimate. Nobody now wanted to go to the TVET. But now, since last year, we've had some presidential team working on education reforms, and they want to ensure that university and all education is all-inclusive and wider access. So beginning of this year, we had a new funding model for the university. Because primary education, they still pay for it. Some, it's reasonably inexpensive. But you also have private schools which charge quite a lot of money. So beginning of September, we have admitted students in universities. And now they can access a scholarship. They can also access a loan from the government. And they have put the students into 4 tiers. There is a category of very vulnerable children. These are students whose parents have both died. They are orphans. And you know, without money, you cannot access school. I was surprised in Austria. You walk in and walk out of school without paying a cent. That fascinated me for the longest time. So the needy students can still get to university. I think I like it. I've looked at it for a while. I've liked it. Unfortunately, not many Kenyans understand it. And so because the school fees has gone up, they keep on saying now university education is not, they cannot reach there, but only if they do not apply. I think I see a bright future for university.
So there has to be more information about it or something
like
that.
In fact, I will indicate in my model a place for parents and the general public. The general public must be made aware of what we have at hand, in order for them to understand and even tell everybody else. So communication is a big thing in this event.
Luke Omondi-Olang is professor of hydrology and water resources engineering at the Technical University of Kenya. Professor Olang received his PhD from the University of Natural Resources and Applied Life Sciences, BOKU, in Vienna, Austria, and has been involved in several research projects such as the APEA project on capacity building on the water energy food security nexus through research and training in Kenya and Uganda, short CUPNEX, Welt im Ohr, our podcast and radio series reported about the CUPNEX project. Since then, he has collaborated with several universities around the world and is currently the director of the Center for Integrated Water Resources Management at the TU Kenya.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have you finally. I will ask you about your academic friendship with Austria and also with EPIA.
Thank you. I'm a hydrologist and ideally remote sensing at the moment. So doing something that coupled between hydrology or water management and how that particularly sustains two aspects of satellite remote sensing, especially for forecasting rainfalls, and how those particular data sets can be used for monitoring purposes and for management purposes. So that is my profession at the moment. Ideally, I'm a former PhD student at the BOKU, and right now I'm based at the Technical University of Kenya.
And yeah. you were appointed?
An appointed professor, an associate professor, ideally at the moment in that academic level, but also I'm the director for the Center for Integrated Water Resource Management.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What did you take from all your years in Austria? How can you bring all this knowledge to those people who should then take also care of the water, of the water quality or sharing water? So is this also part of your work?
I think this is a fundamental. Thank you very much for raising this issue up. It's an extremely important issue when it comes to aspects to do with policy. Some people call it policy management and community involvement or engagement. And all these two basically, have got the same objective in terms of trying to bring forth the necessary interventions. Now, community engagement comes from bottom up, but policy comes from top down. Ideally, all of them can model towards development of interventions that can support particularly some of the studies that we're doing. Yes. We've been involved in aspects to do with policy, and quite often than not, most of the times we involve relevant ministries within the country, within the regions. We involve not only these people, some special people within the World Meteorological Organization called National Hydrological and Meteorological Services of those particular respective countries. Now, when they come and they learn a few things and we learn together with them, sharing experiences together, and we expect, ideally, that one or two lessons can be picked from that, from a policy point of view. Now, from a community engagement point of view, most of the times, and this is something that is a little bit special to most of my projects, basically, and the right word would be most of our projects here, would be we take the final results to the community themselves through stakeholder meetings. Yeah, so we call them, say, look, these are the products from the data sets that we collected from your own systems and your own local community. This is what we have found out. This is the analysis that we've done. And these are freely your product. Our experience is that when they get it back and the products directly, they're extremely joyful. And most often than not, it changes perceptions. They're proud about it. And in one way or the other, it affects their interventions locally.
So now that you have a long years also experience with Austria, you will continue this collaboration, and what do you think makes it sustainable?
I must admit this is an extremely difficult question because right now the whole world is talking about sustainability. I do a lot right now, more or less packaging myself as a hydrology and climate sustainability expert. But the sustainability is not a very simple word. Neither is it simple to define. And often than not, it has got anecdotes of positives and negatives and how you manage those particular positives and negatives. That defines a sustainable project. Just like sustainable relationships, definitely there are low tones and high tones within that particular, that particular environment. So sustainability of the project itself is something that is inbuilt and from a project point of view by the project coordinator himself. He requires or he or she requires somebody who's extremely mature, can be able to get the tones, moderate when things are negative, moderate when things are positive, because things will definitely be negative at one time. So I think the management itself of the project, often than not towards sustainability, depends on, the coordination of the project. Sometimes I've been surprised that people who coordinate projects sometimes don't have experience in management. And therefore they manage projects from a personal point of view. The consequence of that is that whatever they want, their feelings are thrown into the project. And that is sometimes very limiting in one way or the other. I've seen that a couple of times. I don't regret it because I also started from some point of an experience. However, I think when it comes to sustainability and project success, then it's often than not it's good enough that the person who is coordinating has got at least requisite experiences in management over times when it is high and times it is low. There's no project. I've done a series of projects, more than 15 projects. There's no single project when you'll never ever experience low moments. You will definitely experience those points. So sustainability is a function of the management itself.
I wish you very many positive moments, more than the negative moments. And thank you so much and much success for your work.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you're interested in the major issues of research cooperation between Kenya and Austria that were discussed in the roundtable after the presentation of the speakers, such as what is needed to build up long-lasting and sustainable partnerships, the dissemination of project results from the research cooperation, or funding schemes in higher education cooperation for target groups, you can find the detailed summary and much more information on our website. Thank you for tuning in.